God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has commissioned his servant, Reverend Toluwalugo Agboola, with the mandate of true worship, teaching the church the patterns of true worship. Be blessed as you listen.
Love with which you have graciously loved us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of life. We give you praise and glory. Tonight we ask that you will come and aid this divine enterprise. Send forth your spirit. Send forth your spirit. Send forth your spirit. We give you praise at the end of tonight. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Alright, the echo is a little bit too deep. It's good to see your faces again. And I say that with all sense of conviction. It's good to see your faces again. I trust that the Lord tonight will help us. Now, I need to know how audible I am. The sound looks too thick. I need a feedback. I need a feedback. Can you hear the things I'm saying? Okay. Okay. All right. So, you can hear me. I think this is better. So, whatever you are doing that moved from... Maybe you move it a little bit more. Okay. I think we're good. So, we can all hear me well. All right. Permit me to sit. There are many reasons why I'm doing that. It's not because I take you for granted, but I have to. I have to. We will take a worship song, and it's not to while away time. It's because it will form part of the protocols to come into what God will be doing tonight. Father in heaven, how we love. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people, we declare your mighty words. And blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was in these and these to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns with praise forever. Blessed be the Lord Almighty, who was and is, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. In 3 minutes, can you go ahead and bless the Lord? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Zanomo sapapa hato siki veleta haha. E compressiva naso si teke bahaba confidentu sia hato. Ile comasato kabara kivene cupres che vato kimite nanato sa shata bakaya. E capon che mancanso fetana braschete calate che nota mai. Ai compe cavande mena casute capala cante le beraso siata. E gamombre che sete papasa. Ai conde la manco abbassanta bada kibere kuse tatata haya. E conda lima shata kababa kamre se vai le sute kata i canto mi kikebe de suka da tabahata. Aye kompe kamela kwa satata bakanta randi ke konda basanti me konde bala ke kota ba ike belonza sumina kando mikanatele kom sabata a konde kamante ka ikaba kote kasa rakobe kike me santa baka kontenta. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals your diseases, who has crowned your life with goodness, that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Can we go ahead tonight and bless him? For your name is the strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are safe. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise and glory. For this poor man cried out to the Lord and he delivered him. Mato kamambe lide noda matilonde balikami nino sahile tekaba makilando skalebreske venda tondi kia kabo. We bless you. Oh, we ask that your movements, we ask that your essence will be advanced in this place tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, Lord, we lift your name on high. Yes, we lift your name on high. Holy, holy. Yes, we'll lift your name on high. We'll lift your name on high. Holy, holy, Adonai. We'll lift your name, Lord. Name on high, holy, holy, Adonai. We lift your name. Yes, we lift your name on high, holy, holy. You are holy, Adonai. You are holy, Adonai.
You are holy, Adonai. Yes, you are holy, Adonai. You are holy.
One more time.
Yes, you are holy, Adonai. Yes, you are holy, Adonai. You are holy, 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 Adonai. You are holy, Adonai. Saita bada bada to mena tu mini taiba marito zita de 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 ba bada 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 dante si di di bonde ne mene na na da ta e kabadon de le besente de be bada kata toni ataman to ba atado te kopo bom fasha na be kasa e le de ke ke ba 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 kal rosa se kenta na banani meito Santa Labada Santa Lebede in the Monde Ito Bacali Mesuria Samasta Dazo. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. All right, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 is my opening scripture. I'm going to be sharing on the subject understanding secret place communications. Is that how it comes? Or understanding the secret place communications, but I want to do a takeoff from here. It's a very, very conversant verse of scripture, and I need to use it to pin down a modicum of truth. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I said this many times, but I want to reiterate it again, that it is essential that when you come into the kingdom, you know that it is an entrance into the distribution of things. There are many things in the kingdom. And so if you have been able by the help of the Spirit to lay hold on one thing, understand that there are many more things in the kingdom. And our inability to maximize kingdom existence, that you are in the kingdom and you find out that there are some realities of the kingdom that are not finding expression in your life, is not a validation that those realities are absent. It may be that you have not laid hold of the things that make for that operation. Are you with me? So that you come into a house, and when you are served rice, you were not served with a spoon, and then you begin to eat with your hand, you may find out that there are quite a number of difficulties you have. And when your host queries you as to why you decided to use your hand on rice, what you will say is that there is no spoon. However, the absence of a spoon on your serving tray does not signify that there are no spoons in that house. Are you getting my point now? So we have to do all that we must, first of all, to lay hold on the writings that come. constitution of the kingdom. Because in that writing, you see revealed all that is at your disposal. So that should in case experientially you find out that some things are missing, you will be able to labor to come into them, because you know by the constitution that they are part of your rights in the kingdom. Are you with me? So if I begin to pray and I don't get answers to prayer, I'm not supposed to begin to cry. I'm supposed to go back to the constitution that governs prayer to check if there is a possibility of answers. And if there is a possibility of answers, what I begin to do is to begin to seek out the pathways of getting what is missing in my life. Am I making myself very clear? Now, having understood that it is a kingdom of things, you must also understand that the transition from the old man to the new man is also by the economy of things. Hold this verse, keep it up there. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you also find out that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the difference between the old and the new is that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the Bible says that all things are of God. So that's the difference. Everything in the economy of life comes out of God. Everything. It's not a kingdom of trying, it's a kingdom of apprehension, because it's in God. So laying hold is the difference. Are you getting me? Okay. So when you take stock of the things in your life and you find out that that thing is not of God, or in modern day English, the word of there is from. Are you with me? Sourced out of. So if you find out that those things are not of God, it means that they do not have the capacity to bring you into the experience of your new life. Anything that is not of God cannot administer life. Are you with me? Good. So that's the second thing. The third thing you are supposed to know is that you're supposed to be at home with the definitions in the kingdom. It's a kingdom of definitions. And what the enemy seeks to do on this third layer is to labor extensively to make sure that we misdefine, or we redefine, or we adjust definitions, so that we don't lay hold on the fullness of the things that have been available to us. One of the things in the kingdom is the word of God. That's where I'm going. I'm just trying to. One of the things in the kingdom is the word of God. It's the kingdom of words. And we have been helped by the mercies of God to have 36 books that capture a portion, a very vital portion of the speakings of God to us in books, Bibles, whether they are electronic or they are paper Bibles. However, there are many definitions that a man may erroneously many names that a man may erroneously use to try and define scriptures. However, so that I do not bore you, I want to point you into the direction of that which God said concerning the word of God. Because Joshua 1:8 was not Moses. Joshua 1:8 was a continuation of what God be of the marching orders of this second generation apostle of the Old Testament. The first apostle in the Old Testament was Moses. Moses was actually a fivefold in one minister. He was a very strong model of an apostolic entity. And in the day that he died, the Lord began to speak to his handyman or his minister, just like I preached a few Sundays ago, his servant, his slave, Joshua the son of Nun. So if God calls his word something, then it is wisdom to know what he called it. And what he referred to scriptures was referred to it as the book of the law. Now, God must have known that progressively the concept of the constitution by which the people of God will live their lives was going to be subject to a lot of modifications, and people were going to come with all kinds of writings trying to use them to define. So God had to start up that verse with that line. It was this book of the law. It means as time continues there may be other books, but I'm speaking about this particular one. Are you with me? I hope you know that churches have constitutions. We have a pseudo constitution too, because it's necessary for our registration. But one of the things that made our church constitution, our ministry constitution, very small is because what we did was just to write a few things and then run a bridge and put it back in scriptures, subjecting whatever we're going to be doing to the word of God as his final authority. So what we have as a ministerial, as a ministry constitution, is a derivative from the Bible that takes us back into the Bible. So anybody can come and say, but you wrote this thing here, we'll go and need to check in scriptures if that writing stays with scripture. If it stays with scripture, it stands. We can always cancel what we wrote if we find out by progressive revelation that it's anti-scriptures. It's the book of the law, so it must be the book of the law for you. There must be nothing superior to this word, and the admonition is that it must not depart from your mouth. Everyone is designed, if you have want to have success in view, you must chant the word of God. It must not just be known in your heart, it must be on your lips permanently. Somebody say permanently. So if you want to rate how successful you have been today, one of the easiest ways to do is to try and check how much of scriptures have escaped your lips today. Because you cannot skip the movements of the word on your lips and the meditation in it day and night and claim that you are successful. You can't skip it. Because have good success and a prosperous way, those two parts of that verse started with the word then. Then means that when you have fulfilled the requirement, a product is going to be born. Are you with me? So that's my foundation. I'm going to do a lot of reading in scriptures because I'm trying to set a tone for what our discussions are supposed to look like. The Bible says, as newborn babes, what should you do? Yes, you must desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It means that when you come into the kingdom, there are many measurements of progress in the kingdom. Development, intensification, and one another one is growth. And they are all different things. If you pray for 30 minutes today and you come tomorrow and start praying for 2 hours, we say that you have developed in prayer. It does not mean that you have grown. Are you with me? Many of you have heard us use the word gaining ascendancy. This is part of my own Adulam series, so that's why I'm being very, very detailed. You've heard us say, now we're gaining ascendancy, and somebody sent me a message in the house a few days ago, weeks ago. I said, but me, I didn't leave the church. So I had to explain a few things, but the person is here, I can help the person. And in case some other people too feel they've been gaining ascendancy, it's a good opportunity to know if you are actually ascended
or you just fooled yourself, or yeah. When we say that we are ascending, it is premised upon the knowledge that we have by communication. That's why we don't say it every day. By communication, understood that for that meeting, God will not meet us where we are. Is somebody getting me? I've really prayed to God that you understand me. Let's break these things and I'll go into the thing for the night. Is that we have understood that God will not meet us here. God can meet us here. Yes. And when he meets us here, we are not supposed to drive that much. Sometimes God is littered everywhere before we even do anything. And that the direction of travel is that we go deeper. When we ascend, our direction is more like a diagonal direction. We are going this way. So if you see this, it's not vertical. It's with the concept of, okay, it's this way. We're entering deeper into God, but deeper is higher in God. Are you getting me? Our deeper is down, but deeper is higher in God. When I go a little bit further, I'm going to explain that. So, the proof of gaining ascendancy is reality. Is not necessarily, mark my words, intensified prayer. That your tongues are louder and that you are really feeling the prayer. You know how people feel prayers? Yes. You start, you are not feeling it, now you are feeling it. It's reality. I'll give an example. So I said to someone, now we're going to leave 40 and then run to stadium. You know, if the guy wants to fool me, he can start jogging here. I know someone that if he doesn't want to talk to you, and he will say he's on the bike. So once he wants to pick your call, he runs to the front of a fan and then stays there. And then you feel that air. He says, air is blowing, that he's on the bike. And then switches off your line. I know someone like that. But if I begin to jog here, after a while, I'm going to be tired. And it will look to you as though I ran to stadium. So the person says, I ran to stadium. Say, pele, pele. I cannot ask the question. When you got to Amazing, did you see a car there? The guy says, which car? That already proves to me that he did not run. Because as we go through that process of ascension, there are communications, there are sights that help to validate our movements. There are transactions that happen. There are encounters that happen. And those encounters actually make the prayer engagement more interesting. Are you with me? So where those things are absent, some of them may not be understood, but there are things that happen to you. Sometimes there are side effects, such like changing body temperatures. You understand all those things, you know, body vibrations. That help you know that you are passing through layers of the spirit. It's, don't forget, it's not mental. You can't, don't create them. If it's not happening, it's not happening. There's nothing you can do. Yes. Because even if you are willing and a vehicle is not provided, you will be here. Are you with me? The kind of prayers that make people gain ascendancy are not prayer, are not mechanical prayers. You have to be born. You have to be born. He has to carry you. So you can start mechanically, but the fact that you move is because he wants you to move. Are you with me? I'm a very pragmatic person. I know that in a church, sometimes in a church of like 1,000, only 2 people may move. Yes. Because he's interested in calling only 2 people. Not because they are better than the others, but God calls according to purpose. Not according to desire. Are you with me? So blessed is that man that thou causest
to approach unto you. There's a blessedness when he looks among everybody and says, "Is you I want? Is you I want?" So we can only come willing, but he moves only the person that he wants to move. The voice said to John in Revelation 4:1, "Come up hither, and I will show you the things that will happen thereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit. It was because a vehicle came that John moved. There's nothing you can do to move. You can pray very loud, you'll be here. So our movements are actually by mercy and not by desire. May the Lord show us mercy. Okay. The book of the law. So make sure that your worldviews are shaped by the word of God, which is a revelation of the legal system of heaven. You'll be safe there. You'll be safe there. Yes, I said I was going to share on the communications of the secret place. Now, there's a principle I want to teach, because as we begin to do deeper intercessory business, I would need to be more intentional about some things that, about certain teachings. Into this morning, the Lord began to speak to me that I had to teach a few principles. And when I asked him what principles, he said to me, he said, "Relating with your David." So if you're writing, that's what you write. Principles of relating with your David. You might not understand what David is, but where you see mighty men, there will always be a David. What it means is that there are a few men that have by the grace of election been chosen to be artisans in the spirit. They have been gifted graces to manufacture mighty men out of weak men. If you meet them weak, if you endure the process, you will be mighty. When you meet such men, there is a way to relate with them. Are you getting me? I said there are a few men who have been anointed to be artisans. They are like welders or goldsmiths or blacksmiths. If you throw a fearful man at them, they have been given spirit technologies by the election of grace to manufacture those people into very dangerous weapons. A few men. It's an election of grace. Yes. Have I preached a sermon around artisans in the spirit? I think I have a sermon like that. One of those old conferences. Did I? I think it was Mandate Fire Conference. Yes. So, Jerry, help me. I'm not sure if our messages were online that time. Okay, but help me look for the message and then let's get it up again. There are men like that. They are designed to be captains through whom the portions of men in the kingdom can be entered into. They are not God. However, they are like connectors in the day of the distribution of inheritance. That this is your place, this is your place. They are God's, you know, when God chooses to bring men into their inheritance. I said a few days ago that he decides to answer prayers when God wants to do anything on three layers, right? When the entrance into inheritance is apportioned to the realms of men, a David will be necessary. Are you getting? I'm choosing my words carefully. I'm not trying to, it's an office in the spirit, but I'm not trying to exalt it. That's why I'm being careful. It's an election. Sometimes you go to God and say, Lord, I want my portion in the kingdom, and he will give it to you. Because that answer has been left in the realms of God's sovereign will. Sometimes you go to God and say, I want my portion, and God will say, an angel will go before you, like the children of Israel. So an angel, a literal angel, not a human angel. I hope you understand what I mean by a human angel. Yes. There are humans who by labor come into angelic operations for another day. But there are times when a man must be your lead. And I found out that most times a man is your lead. That's what David is. When you meet that David, one, you need discernment to be able to know that that is your David. He's the captain that will bring you into your inheritance. When you meet him, there's a degree of rest that you must have, because he will not deploy you the way you are. He will, his assignment is to seriously labor on you to achieve some degree of deformation. That's his assignment. He's not supposed to pat your head. He's supposed to deform you to a point that you don't look like how you came. As a matter of fact, he deforms you to a point that what you came afraid of will be afraid of you when you turn back. Are you getting me? That's who David is. The assignment is essentially to raise mighty men. But when you meet David, the Lord was teaching me how that there is a way that those who have been sent in the direction or who have happened upon their David should relate with the David, if that relationship will be optimized. There are some things I'll share with my brother yesterday morning, Prophet Adesoji Adekole, how that there are some things we need to begin to teach, because the expectations we have that are not being met. And before we blame people, we must ensure that we have made attempts to teach them what they should know. Okay. So, early that morning, before we rose for today, I began to run through scriptures. I didn't have a Bible beside me. I don't sleep Bible beside me. But across scriptures. And I came across three different interactions or kinds of relationships in, and I have to rearrange them in a particular order. So I'm going to do some reading from scriptures and just point them out, and I trust God that if this is for you, if you have found who that David is, we will go back and relate with that person appropriately. 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now watch verse 2. And everyone that was in, let's read together, in, and everyone that was in, and everyone that was gathered. One of the signs to know that the person you are relating with, now this David concept is a spiritual kind of leadership, is that is the kind of people that gather to that person. He generally does not come across excited people. Most times there are people who are, the verse is not finished, right? Okay, so let's finish reading it. Or gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were about how many? 400. I'm not going to do that numbering system, but it says a lot. So people who are distressed, and the distress may be for all kinds of reasons, people who are in debt, it may be financial indebtedness, it may be debts as regards something that happened in the spirit, and I don't want to go into that, but there are things that people owe in the spirits that other generations come to pay. And everyone that is discontented, when it comes to discontentment, it may be those who are just not happy about life, it may be those, it may also be those who are tired of a particular spiritual order, and they feel that there's a necessity for a shift. Let's, things are not supposed to be this way. People who feel there's more in God, you know, those are the kinds of people that gather to David. We can give a name to this company in the day they showed up. They are the company of the needy. They have needs. They want debts to be paid. They want distresses to be taken off. And they want to become excited about something. There is a seed that God has planted in them that has sent them into a state of tumult, and they want a balance. That's why they came. So this is the company of the needy. And when the needy meet David, it's okay to meet him like this, but they must not always be like this. If not, you will not be able to maximize your David. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 17 and 18 gives us the progression. The needy must expose themselves to training so that they can become this second group. Now, is it 1 Chronicles? Not Corinthians. And David, now, when they came in the beginning, they were the ones longing. They had desires. Right now, the one who has the desire is the David. So they were needy men in the beginning, and David was supposed to, by training, quench their appetite or satisfy their appetite. Now, the Bible said, and David longed and said, "Oh, that one will give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." Now, verse 18, watch. And the three, these three initially were distressed or in debt or discontented. But the Bible says, and the three break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by, go on, the gate, and took it and brought it to David, but David would not drink of it, but poured it out unto the Lord. So they started as needy men, but they became need meters. They had by exposure. So they must know how to use training. They must know how to use words. They must know how to observe so that they are not perpetually like they came. Are you getting me now? Are you seeing the progression? The proof of change is that their words change. The things they do change. Their posture changes from having needs into being able to handle stuff. But that's not the end of their journey, like the Lord helped me see this morning. I'll take one more reading in this progression, and that's in 2 Samuel chapter 21, and it's quite a long reading, verse 15 to 22, and I'm going to be done. It's a lot of wisdom I'm trying to give from scriptures. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Let's go ahead. And is Hebenob, which was of the sons of the giant, once you hear the giant, that's Goliath, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being guarded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. So David was now fighting with a giant, and he became weak, and this guy was thought to have slain David because
The battle went too long.
Okay.
But Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. More like he covered David, pushed him aside, and smote the Philistine and killed him. That the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Let's go on. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the Gentiles. Go ahead, I'm going to 22. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jareoregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Githite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Okay? And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giants. Verse 20. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimea, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. They came as needy men, having desires that they wanted to be met. By exposure to training, they became men who were waiting on David to have a desire that they could meet, and ultimately they became his warriors. How were they his warriors? They became men who could fight his battles so that he could rest. Are you getting me? That's the progression. When you meet a David, make sure that you progress to the end. If you do not labor in that progression, that light will be quenched before time. Are you with me? So one of the ways to shorten the life of your David is to ensure that you do not grow. What did I say? Is to ensure, once you ensure that you don't grow, your David will not last. I've said so much. So when I teach on sonship, I will expand on this. True sons fight the battles of their fathers, because his covering preserves them from having their own. Are you with me? When you come into sonship, it's symbiotic. Your father uses his covering to shield you in the day of your battle. In the day of his battle, your assignment is to fight his battles for him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know what I just did does not mean too much, but to those who need to understand, I hope you can understand. Communications of the secret place. Psalms chapter 91.
I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord.
Let's read together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In my introduction to this discussion, as you saw online, I said that the Spirit craves that the saints
fulfill the cycles of communication that are initiated in God. It means that when God picks up a new emphasis over your life, His speakings, His words, His communications concerning that emphasis sometimes are not one off. That a young lady under the sound of my voice is expectant that marriage should happen. When marriage moves into emphasis in God, because there is the possibility that you think that something is your current emphasis and you begin to labor to receive communication over that thing now, and it looks as if God is silent, it may be that it is not yet an emphasis to God. Are you getting me? So God begins to speak on issues when those issues become His emphasis for you. When you begin to track in prayers with something that is not a current emphasis, there is a higher possibility that you don't get answers, because God is not thinking what you are thinking. From scriptures, if you go to John chapter 2, you will remember that when they were in the wedding at Cana of Galilee and the wine finished, the Bible said the mother of Jesus went to Him and said, the wine has finished. And Jesus said to her, what does your concern have to do with Me? He didn't address her as mother. He said, woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? It means the fact that it bothers you does not mean that it bothers God. And until it bothers God, He does not begin to move on that issue. Are you with me? So, as you begin to mature in God, when you have proof that what bothers you does not bother God, the secret way to manage that situation is to go to rest. Because it means that things are not going to get out of hands. If God does not think I should do something about this thing, then I should not be bothered that something be done about it. Are you with me? Okay, that's for those who have absolute trust in God, who don't have second options. So if you have second options, you can run them. I found out that, you see, what second options essentially do is that they keep you busy until God wants to intervene. Are you with me? Oh. What I mean by keeping you busy is the problem may have become bigger. You know, you'll have gotten into more trouble. You'll have owed more money. And then, after all that trouble, God now says, let's sort this thing now. And then, what you were owing before was 2,000. Now you're owing 10,000. And miraculously, God pays the 2,000. Because that's the one that bothers Him. You created the 10,000. Then you now start asking for a miracle to pay the 8,000 that you owed because you were not patient with God. That's why, you see, the Bible says that will keep him in perfect peace. The Bible didn't say that will always answer his prayers whose heart he stayed on thee. It says he will keep him in perfect peace whose heart he stayed on thee. It means that his answers may actually not be forthcoming, but he's going to be at peace. Because he puts his trust in you. If you look at the interaction of God with the problems of men across scriptures, you'll be humbled that one of the things you see is that God is not a result crazy God. There are problems, he can live there. Okay, so Paul goes to him and says three times, somebody say three times, I asked of the Lord that he will take this thorn away, and what did he say? My grace is sufficient for you. So does that look like the answer to the thorn? Let's use the concept of a nail. You're walking, somebody's walking on the road and then steps on a nail. If that happens to you, how many have experienced it before?
I've had it once before, but my pain threshold is quite high. I was walking in Sabo one day, and there was a nail on, it was not even a nail, it was last year's Salah. It was the spine of, maybe it was a cow, whatever they killed. I didn't know. I stepped on it and then entered my leg like that. So the Hausa guys there had to sit me down and then pull out the thing out of my leg. I didn't even scream. I was just, my leg bled into the hospital. Me, I was just walking my own. Yes. I shared this morning that if your heart has been broken too many times, your body becomes dead to pain. I don't know pain too much anymore. I used to be scared of, but it's died. So there are people like us. But what I'm saying is, if you, how did we get to stepping on the nail? Good. So you stepped on a nail, and then you now, and then there was nobody, and then you shouted out to God and said, God, are you out there? Help me with this nail. And then God says, oh, my grace is sufficient for you. More like he's telling you, I'm giving you capacity to bear that nail in your leg. And you are saying, but what I want is that you remove the nail. He says, let the nail be there. You can bear it. You can bear it. You know, they look, he will look like a wicked God. But because sometimes those thorns are necessary, and Paul told us why that thorn was necessary. Because sometimes you think you know how to walk well, and me, I can't step on a nail. Now you are stepping on one. And so that everybody comes to see that you can step on a nail, he allows the nail to be there so that everybody sees it. But now you become a sign and a wonder, because with nail in leg, you are still doing things. So he gives grace. Paul said, lest I become puffed because of the multiplicity of revelations. The life of a revelatory man is precarious. It's precarious. So if you are saying, Lord, I want to have deep revelation, you will have scars that must keep you humble. Those scars become necessary to keep you humble. To keep you humble. Okay. Let me run Psalm 91 so that I don't take your time. He that dwelleth in the... Okay, I think I read it already. I was giving you an introduction that... So when God begins to speak and something comes into his emphasis for your life and he begins to speak to you, he may not say it once. It may be in pieces. It's for that purpose that I said that this Holy Spirit craves that he fulfills that circle of communication. That if he says, I want you, you will hear what he wants you for. You will hear where he wants you. You will hear how he wants you. These are pieces that are often not completed because many have not been trained or have not learned how to wait on the Lord. And that's the burden that I'm teaching this with. There are a lot of people who genuinely have had encounters with God that sponsored some dimension of communication, but are still confused, and many are more confused than when they had not heard God. When they had not heard God, they knew that, okay, if I graduate from school, I'm just going to youth service, which is in quotes compulsory, and from youth service they get a job. After some times, if they are males, people begin to tell them about settling, to speak to them about settling down. If they are ladies, the parents get tired of their welfare and want to push them out of the house, right? And when they get married, after maybe a few months, some not too circumcised people come around and they are trying to check, are they pregnant? then they give birth to children. You expect that your children go to school after a while. You understand that circle. It's a natural flow. However, he's in 100 level and Jesus walks into his room one night and says, I have need of you. There are a lot of people like that who are now confused. An encounter which should have opened up a pathway of glorification now becomes a confusing, now opens up a confusing journey, because they do not understand what I have need of you is supposed to do. And what many of them do is that they now begin to run around human beings seeking an explanation to I have need of you. And what you find out is that even among spiritual people, and maybe I should give you this, a spiritual man does not always give spiritual answers. Are you with me? A spiritual man does not always give spiritual answers. A spiritual man can give emotional answers. A spiritual man can just choose the path of logic and give you an intelligent answer. However, by experience, I've come to understand that an intelligent answer is not always a spiritual answer. Are you getting me? So my pastor told me this is how I'm supposed to run, or this is what this thing means, and you don't think that you need to subject that answer to a witness in your heart, you will find out that sometimes it will work, sometimes it will burn you, and it will not be because that man is not sincere. For example, if one of my young ladies in the house wants to get married and somebody comes and says, I want to marry you, by mere looking at the person, I can be furnished with discernment to the glory of God. By mere looking at the person, say, this guy is not a sincere guy. And I had some of them who said, ah sir, you don't know him, he's a sincere guy. So I pray that every blockade will be removed so that she will see the guy. And after like a few months, he comes back crying. See, a boy was sincere, Loto. If it happens 3 times to that same one person, I'll become emotional, because I've seen her heart broken 3 times. Now I'm going to be extra protective. And when I become extra protective, it's going to weaken my discernment. So that if I see a good man, I can say, that beat you about joy. Are you with me? It won't be because I decided to be carnal. Now I don't want this person to get hurt again. So when I get to that point, what I do is that I widen the scope. I look for someone very close to me who is not emotionally attached to the situation. So I say, and we do this in our spiritual family, sometimes in my spiritual family. Apostle says, Tolu, what do you think there? I say, okay, give me 2 days. So I pray, say, Papa, this is what I think. How about this, how I think? I say, okay, let me pray again. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. If we disagree like twice, he goes to pray again. And then when we agree, we now tell the person, this is what we feel that you should do. Are you with me? Because once you are emotional about the situation, your discernment is dulled. So, it's not wrong to seek counsel with people. I hope you also know that you can tell someone, I'm traveling tomorrow. And the guy said, tomorrow. Okay, go. And then later the person says, I've traveled. And the guy says, when? So you say, okay, go. Because, let me say this in Yoruba. Oh, man, can't you? I'm traveling tomorrow. Baninwe. Are you with me? So he can give a subconscious answer. And then you say, boy, Savior, you are the one that told me. I say, me? When? That's why a wise minister will encourage
that everyone that is under his watch builds a very robust understanding of how God speaks and how a man is designed to interact with the speakings of God, because none of us has the exclusive preserve of the speakings of God. Much more, listen to this, when it comes to your life, your receptacles, your own receptacles, when it comes to your life, your own receptacles are designed in God to be the corridors through which many of the speakings of God concerning your life will come. Are you with me? So even if you go to a meeting, like I will show you in scriptures tonight, if you go to a meeting and somebody says come, and it touches your head and begins to say, I see you in Lagos, I see you doing this, I see you doing that, I will tell you that concerning what God wants to do in your life, no matter how elaborate that open discussion by someone is, you may not still have come into 90% of the things that define your life by that utterance, even if he speaks for 3 hours, because there's a way God has chosen to communicate with us. Is a personal God. Are you with me? So I asked some people, how do you know you have a call to ministry? He said, I went to this meeting, this person prophesied, that person prophesied, that person prophesied. So what do you know about yourself? I said, me, I've not heard anything. You will still be confused, because the rest to know is supposed to be what you labor into. And that's why we're doing this topic, that all of us can progressively navigate into the missing pieces of the speakings of God over our lives, and our lives can be, you know, our lives can, we cease to be lives lived by surprise. If you know all the details that a man is supposed to know, there's still the God factor. You find out that there will be few surprises in your life. You know where you are supposed to be. You know what you are supposed to be doing. You know with whom you are supposed to be doing it. So if something wants to come into your life, you will be able to move away out of it. For a brother, when it's time to choose, the fact that you're a spiritual brother and you pray and you say, this person I received, what I just told you now tells you that you can receive on many different layers. And if you don't know how to sift what part of you is receiving, you think that all your receptions are spiritual, because you can receive a sister by emotions. You are still a spiritual man. You are not an emotional man, but a spiritual man can receive a sister emotionally. Are you getting me? A spiritual man can say yes to a job opportunity emotionally. Yes, our possibilities as Christians are very, very diverse. And after you missed the, you said yes to a wrong job, you can say right to the right house, so that immediately you made a mistake because of emotions over another issue, you get it right immediately. So you can't even say, if I got 1, 2, 3, 4 right, then 5 must also be right. That's why we have not been helped away from the Spirit. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit does not help you at a distance. He stays. And so when you receive his help, don't run away. Stay with him. Because you still need the security of his presence, so as not to mishandle the help that you just got from him. Psalm 91 opens us up to the concept of a location in God. And that location is called the secret place. However, to call that location the secret place does not fully express what it is called in God, because everybody here has a secret place. Am I right? Oh, okay. If you have a secret place and you can boldly describe your secret place, please raise your hand. You are sure you have a secret place? Now you see,
you are in class. If I don't finish before 7, I'm going to get up and go away. I didn't even want to stay that long because I just feel strength. So in 5 minutes, Lamde, you knock me off the camera. I need to drink water. So nobody has a secret place again. I want us to learn. You're sure you have a secret place? Okay, we are all public guys. Anybody. Somebody to quickly help us, not any of the leaders. Okay, Manuel wants to try. Okay, please go ahead. Okay, let me interrogate you so that you know what to tell me.
Alright, sir.
You said when I enter, so share with us your entry protocols.
Okay. One of the things I do.
Okay.
Whenever I'm inside, whenever I want to enter the secret place,
yes,
I've been directed to do.
Okay.
Is first, whenever I stand up trying to communicate with him, he directs me to go down.
Okay.
And after that, he directs me to sing some songs.
Okay, to sing some songs.
Then from the songs, I will start to get some things about myself that I need to work upon. Most especially my weaknesses and things I've done and I'm not supposed to do, even though they are right, but I'm not supposed to do it. He starts revealing things I've done during the day to me that are not in accordance to what he's thinking for me.
Okay, so is it a particular location?
Actually our home, my house. But I've been able to, I would say it's a particular location.
Okay.
Not everywhere.
Are you in school here?
No, our home.
No, I mean, are you in school here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when you get to school, what happens to this secret place?
I've not been able to connect directly much on getting to school in terms of the direct communication I get from him.
Okay.
Compared to when I'm home in my personal room, around it's always happening around 11. When it is 11 on the dot, I drop everything I'm doing and I go down.
Okay. Now, have you attempted here to now, because the issue we are dealing with here will help a lot of people. How that in a particular physical location, you look as though the hotspot there is stronger than in another place. Good. So, have you attempted 11 o'clock to do that here?
No, not really.
Okay.
And that's due to the fact that when I'm at home, there's always this strong draw when it's 11. Like, come. So I find it very difficult to ignore such things, such influence, such feelings when I'm home. Compared to when I'm school, I have the mindset of doing it when it's 11, but I just find out that before 11 I sleep off, and when I wake up around 6 and the likes.
Okay, so that's another variant. Okay, now, so that we go, thank you. Can we celebrate my brother? So that's a good one. Let me help out and then I'll go to, because before I go to what I want to teach. I'm sure that physical location at home was not like that in the beginning. Over time, you have labored in that location. That location is not this Psalm 91 secret place.
that location. I want to de-emphasize location. There are power locations across the world. You can even create some, yes, by consistently coming there. Because when you consistently do spiritual activity in the location, life comes into that location. But he can enter his room tonight, and if you take my instructions, you can reproduce that same thing here. You are most times drawn at home. I'm sure your distractions in school are more than home. Yes. If you pass that test of love this night, you will have that same feeling. Because at home, he draws you. When you get to school, he knows you have choices. And so your proof of love will be that you will do whatever you need to do to keep that time. As much as drink coffee to sit down till 11 o'clock. He draws us, but there are times that he waits on us to also come. That's what fellowship is. Let's assume that, are you in a relationship? Okay. If you come into a relationship now and then you tell a sister, 4 o'clock every day we are going to be seen. You are the one that said 4 o'clock. So the sister comes at 4. The sister comes at 4. If you are like me, I used to be, I can pull a smart one. Because you can do one-sided relationship sometimes. The person is just coming because he said they should come. They can be coming and say, oh, it's 4 o'clock, this brother again. So what you will do is, one day you will not call, that is 4 will be coming. You just go to school and be whiling away your time. Hoping that by 4:05, your phone rings and the sister says, I'm already sitting in front of a electrical lab now. You are not here. You know, what that will do to you is, oh, it means she's also interested. Are you with me? That's why I said it's more of a test of love. Those meetings are supposed to be fellowship with the Lord. It's a sharing. So your desperation to want it, even when you are not drawn into it, will help you recreate that atmosphere that you have known. What draws you is a reality. That reality flows out of a structure that consistency has built at home. Are you with me? When you show up here, what you will find out is that those structures, even though they are at home, we begin to bat realities here. Sometimes I travel. Okay. I travel. And my neighbor who has been seeing me every day can call, and did not see me today, can now call and say, Reverend, where are you now? So I traveled. And then we still gist small and go off. He has enjoyed the gist so much, so that even though I'm away, he still wants the gist. So if he connects to me, the gist continues, even though location has changed. Are you with me? There is a discipline that moves altars. That's what I'm teaching. There's a discipline that moves altars. That when I'm at home, 5:30 is worship time. And even before I wake up, I'll be hearing the songs. When I now come to school, it's 7 o'clock I used to wake up. So set alarms. If I set alarms beside you, you'll be afraid. For that 5 o'clock, you see 4:40, 4:43, 4:45, 4:48, between 50 and 5 o'clock, I can set 4 alarms. So that if I numb this one, the one that is going to snooze after 5 minutes, I started shouting again. That way I choke myself. It can be 5 now and I'll sleep off. If you do that repeatedly, after a while you kickstart it. Are you with me? Also understand that, I don't know the kind of home setting you have. If it's a very, very spiritual home, it means that you have the supplies of a lot of people to load in that atmosphere for you. You may not have all that here. Like if you stay around my place now,
People can start can be cursing themselves, not to be behind our house at 2 a.m. They can be doing that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But in my house, you can't even hear curse at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can't. The person who walks past you in my house is most likely singing a worship song, most likely, or saying a prayer. That's how my own house would be. So it would be easy for me to switch on. So if I now come to a place like this, it means I have to recreate that, the structures that give back to that drawing. So I can want to sleep and be playing a message or be playing a worship song, you know, those kind of things. Yeah. So those are the things you need to create. Maybe you get, I think I have a sermon on building altars or something like that. So it will help you to be able to solve that. Okay. Now, what are there, something I want to bring out why I ask that question? Because this verse gives us a very lengthy name to the concept of secret places. It is he that dwelleth in, and what is that location here? The location here is the secret place of the Most High, not my secret place. It's not the call to creating a secret place. It is a ready location. It is a furnished location. It is an active, already active location. It is a man that chooses to go to live there. It is not a house that a man builds. Are you with me? He that dwells or dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It is not your secret place. It is, he is the owner of that secret place. That one will his experience will be as one who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. What it tells us is that one of the dominant realities of that secret place of the Most High is the shadow of the Almighty. The influence of God is there. The presence of God, or the covering presence of God, is there. There is the possibility of a New Testament. You know, Jesus was talking about praying in secret, right? What Jesus said was praying in secret. He didn't say praying in the secret place. Some other translations use the word your closet. Your closet is your place of private prayer. Is it possible that that's your place, physical location now, of private prayer, becomes the secret place? It can. But it will only be because the presence of God overshadows it. Are you with me? What it means is that the secret place of the Most High can be mobile. It can be mobile. Prayer can happen there. Can happen there. Worship can happen there. But the things that you do there, that a man does there, is not what makes it the secret place. The presence of God that is there is what makes it the secret place. So if a man comes to sleep and happens upon that place, because if you ask Jacob, Jacob's experience of the communications of the secret place happened on a field. Are you with me? God began to bring to him secret communications. There was a meeting. He was the one that came to meet God there. So it was a secret place of some sort. But to Jacob, what was that place? It was a sleeping place, not a prayer place. Are you with me? So the overshadowing presence of God that is
validated by his glory, that is validated by his communications, is what makes that spiritual place a secret place. So you can be in the boss and there can be communications that only you are hearing. The boss does not look like a serious place. People are cursing, people are sharing, and then God carves another niche for you. Are you with me? So all of us are supposed to have a closet somewhere you can escape to and relate with God. But secret places are built by God, because there are people who pray for 3-4 hours and come out and are more blank than the guy who is walking on the road. It means secret place did not happen there, but you prayed, and that's still a good thing. Are you with me? Oh, I said on the last Sunday that I ministered or so, or one of those days, I said 1 minus 20 is what? Yes, you started learning that from about primary 1 or 2. When you were in kindergarten or in nursery school, 1 minus 20 is impossible. Abi? Good. So as we grow, we are supposed to come up with truth. Somebody says, this is my prayer altar. So he puts one cloth on the ground in his room. It's not a problem. But the reality of an altar is that it's an interface. It's a meeting point between the spirit and the man. So if only the man is coming to that sacred cloth, that if your friend mistakenly drops rice on it or steps it with his foot, you start a fight. If it's only you that comes there and God does not meet you, there's not an altar. Are you with me? It's not an altar. There are many things that we call family altars that is only human beings that attend. So it's not an altar. Anyways, family altar. So it's the family that meets there. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying that a true family altar should be able to house not just human beings, but the spirits that you have come to interact with. Are you with me? So he that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So the psalmist introduces us to a spiritual location that a man can dwell in. Now that spiritual location can be present everywhere, because he does not specify that man. He just uses the word he. And dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, based on the perspective of the psalmist, is a possibility for anyone who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, whether is Chinese or is Nigerian, whether is Fulani or is Yoruba. Anyone who makes that choice can. What I'm saying is, the open-ended nature of that verse of scripture gives us the universe, opens us up to the universality of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. The universality of divine communication, or the experience of divine communication, the experience of divine presence, the experience of the government of God, which is part of the byproducts of being under his shadow, that can happen anywhere. You may be schooled, you may not be schooled. God can speak to everybody. God can speak to anybody. God can do that anywhere that the secret place happens. Are you with me? We may not be able to understand what the psalmist means by the secret place of the Most High, because while I was teaching a while ago, I won't be able to finish this, but let's just go on. I said that when words are used in scriptures, the original listeners or the original people who received those words
actually know the definitions of some key words in those verses. We may not. Are you with me? So, if he says he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, a New Testament believer may become creative in trying to. That's how, for many people, prayer closet became the secret place. Behind closed doors became the secret place. Because, in actual fact, the secret place is a place of secrets. Are you with me? That's a way you can call it. It's like a vault. And the vault houses secrets. Things that God decides to hide are known there. It means if, no matter how pious or sanctimonious it is, if it does not bring you into the economy of that which God does not freely cast out, then it means that you are likely not relating with God in that secret place. So, what does someone, in what will someone in the day of David understand as the secret place of the Most High? Many of these lines were drawn from their concept of the patterns and the structures that surrounded the priesthood of Aaron. So let's take two verses from scripture that could help us into what he called the secret place of the Most High. Remember that David was very accustomed to the tabernacle. And so when he said secret place of the Most High, what the average Jew will understand will be what? The Holy of Holies. So let's do some bit of study of the Holy of Holies. I will not be able to do too much of that when I come back, maybe next week. Yes, next week. I will share the concluding thing. But I think these foundations are necessary. Exodus 25:22, and then we come to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's do Hebrews chapter 9 first. I'll do 1-6. Hebrews 9:1-6. Verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick. Is now talking about the compartments of the tabernacle, a candlestick, and the table, and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now somebody is saying the first, because I don't have a picture, but the way it is created is the outer court is many times not covered. It's just a fence. People just walk around there. So the real covered part are just two parts. So he's saying the first, go back to verse 2. He's saying, for there was a tabernacle. So it's already in the holy place now. Made the first, wherein was the candlestick. That's what we call the menorah. And then the table and the shewbread. Okay? Which is called the sanctuary. That's what we call the holy place. Then let's go to verse 3. And after the second veil, because the first veil takes you from that outer court into what he called the first place, where he called the sanctuary, into the holy place. So after the second veil is what separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Okay, let's go. We're going to 6. Which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant. So you're already in the holy place. That's where the ark is. I'm using this portion to give you the furniture arrangement in the tabernacle. It's the same thing in the temple too. And it's the same thing in your heart also. I think about a year or two ago, I gave us that picture. Yes. It's more like a transition between from your body to your soul to your then deep into your spirit. So The presence, the ark, is in your spirit. So when you get saved, the activity of God begins in your spirit, because that's where the ark is. That's where the word is. That's where the law is written. That's where the authority is first stamped, right? And then that's where your life is. That's where the manna is. And then as those things begin to relate from there, so God moves from, God does not come from outer court into the holies of holies. God comes from inside and comes to stand outside. So the reality of God in the life of a believer is supposed to begin from your spirit into your soul and into your body. Are you with me? Okay. I won't teach it again. I don't know what sermon it was, but I know I did a good job doing that. So, the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that burdened, that's authority, and the tables of the covenant, that's the law written. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. The mercy seat is like the cover of the box. So you have the cherubim on this side, the cherubim on this side with their wings, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Let's go on. Okay, so let me stop there. So my detail is to make you know that the ark is in the holiest of all. Are you with me? Good. Now let's go to Exodus and see the activity that ark is supposed to play out from verse 21. I know it doesn't start too well, but let's go there. Now thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. It means when you have finished the ark, you put the cover on it. That's why I said the mercy seat is the cover. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give you. That's the law 22. And there, that's where that ark is, I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. It means God's promise of fellowship happens where? Above the mercy seat. Communications, encounters happen above the mercy seat. And from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of testimony. Let's stop there. If you go back, let me give you clarity of verse 22. At the end of verse 22, help me. Now, there are two experiences that will happen here. There will be a meeting and there will be communication. Are you with me? A meeting and communication. A meeting and communication. There are two locations. Above the mercy seat, there will be a meeting. Between the two cherubims, there will be a communication. It means it all happens over the mercy seat. So you will not be able in that day, except God wants on the Feast of Tabernacles, when God comes out of the holy place and comes to stand in front of the tent, and every man too, you know, the pillar comes to stand in front of the tent, and then every man comes out of their houses too and stands in front of their tents. Except on that day, God can only be encountered by the one who goes into the holiest of all. Now, the psalmist is introducing to us that there is a possibility that a man goes that far and then begins to live permanently behind that second veil. That's what he calls the secret place of the Most High. Remember that the mercy seat, the ark, and all of those things were actually shadows of what we are designed to experience now. They are shadow structures, but the realities that they shadowed
are still with us, that meeting God is still possible and hearing from God is still very possible, but it happens in the holiest of all. Because when Jesus died, what Jesus did when he gave up his spirit, the curtain was torn so that a new and living way is open to us. It's open to us to come into that holiest of all. It's, and not just come in and go out, but remain there. That secret place of the Most High is the new location of the believer, because the restriction is off. Are you with me? That's the design. It is on the strength of that, that when I'm lying on my bed, if the realities are alive and I have come into the understanding of how to fulfill the human side of the, when I speak of the human side, my expected response to the realities that are happening in that place, I can hear from God on my bed. I can hear from God in the kitchen. You can even be in the toilet and God will be speaking to you. Are you with me? So it means that even if you started something in prayers and God said to you, for example, Kolade, I will take you places. And that's a very dangerous word to hear. He said, I will take you places. Places are plenty now. And he even has S behind it. So it can be Dubai, it can be Lagos, it can be Calabar, it can be UK, it can be the US, it can be Iran or Israel, it can be Gambari or... Oh, you see, it's Gambari that you are not laughing at. It can be anywhere. So, the fact, you may be in the toilet and it tells you that. And then you now meet Emmanuel and say, Emmanuel, God says he's taking me places. You see, awesome. The caller now wants to be like some people. Now say, Emmanuel, where do you think that God is taking me to? Ah. Emmanuel now say, ah, Rokalade, you know you're so close to where? It's France. It's France. You know, there are quite a lot of designers in France. Say, it's France. It's France. Say, maybe you have a call to Kingdom Fashion. Now, the only authentic utterance that you can live your life with, even with his, kingdom fashion looks, so you now see, maybe I should even change the name of my brand to KF Kingdom Fashion. I'm saying the only authentic statement that you have for life will still be, I'm taking you places. Because a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I'm not despising the prophetic. But even when you hear the prophetic, it should validate something that you have heard. There are a lot of whose lives are in shambles. Because God said, and human beings have given them the remaining 25 alphabets to define their lives. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you must fulfill your circle. If you fulfill this circle, you will not be confused. That's the bit. I'm just going to give us an introduction into the, it's a wide topic, but this is my introduction. I saw three patterns of secret place communications that God brought forth in the Bible. And I'm just going to talk about them briefly and let us go. But the aim of tonight is that if God has said one thing and you found out that the one thing that he said seemingly brought confusion into your life, it is that what he said to you was not designed to be an action step, it was designed to be an invitation. That when God says to you,
I have called you by my name. Don't go and start something. Stay with him, and when he wills, he will speak again. Ensure, you see, every time a question comes out of your mind as a result of what God said to you, it means that the communication has not ended. Are you with me? Let me say it again. When the speakings of God bring questions in your heart, it means that that communication has not ended. So if there are three cups in a house, and I say, now get me a cup, and then as you turn, the question comes to your heart like, which cup now? What do you think you should do? You should re-engage the speaker and say, sir, which cup? Say the red one. But there are two. Sir, there are two red cups. Many times, the realm that we relate to it does not see us as interested when we don't engage. I'm saying that the confusion you have, God knew that you will be confused. He was just waiting for you to engage him and ask him questions. Acts chapter 9. Let me take one. It's not new. Acts chapter 9, and give me from verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Verse 3 now. And as he journeyed, now somebody say, as he journeyed. So, where was this physical location? On the road. Okay. He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about, round about him, a light from heaven. Let's go ahead. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now his own was on the road. It was an encounter on the road. It was a communication that was personal to him. Are you with me? It was an encounter that brought him into a disclosure. Secret communications in public space. Are you with me? It was a secret communication in public space. He fell to the earth. Okay, good. Why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Because that question battered a question in his heart. So what he did was, he engaged. Are you with me? Paul could have traveled on with, why persecutest thou me? So he says, who art thou, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Verse 6. I'm in 6 now. Okay. And he, trembling and astonished, Paul didn't stop talking. So there was a back and forth. And for every new thing he said, he came into a new layer of communication. Trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So it began with God. He was only going to get an answer from another man, because the Lord told him that another man will bring forth the next layer. Can you see the progression? So
Your questions are supposed to be directed at the Lord until he refers you to a man. I've had people like that. I've been having layers upon layers of visions. And in the process of engaging the Lord over months, the Lord says, go to Tolu Abola and tell him what you have been seeing. And when the guy begins to talk to me, when he misses out details, I fill in the details for him. That dream, no. When you got to that place, before you met the woman, you actually met two men. He said, yes, sir. Uh-huh. So I finish up the dream. And then, and I'll tell him, well, what your dream means is, many times, I will not know it's coming. So as he's telling me, I've shared with some of us, what happens is that as he's telling me the dream, I'm looking at you, but I'm in the dream. So whatever details he misses out, I come into that detail and I can tell him what it means. It's a grace that comes because God sent that person to me, so I will know what to do. Are you with me? Good. So what happened to him? Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. So it was Paul's private encounter, but it was in the public space. So secret place communications can happen even in the public. Are you with me? Okay. That was Saul. But one of the major thing I want us to pick out of there is that whenever a question comes as a result of something that God said to you, don't try to give a meaning to a communication that is incomplete. Maybe what God is telling me. So now I ask you, have you asked God? He said, no. Why should you be afraid to ask God? Don't we ask our fathers? If my dad says, go and do this thing, I ask him that. I don't understand that thing. You can't even bring acceptable service where there's no understanding. I don't know what's happening here. Okay, this is good. So that's Paul. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, you begin to see another kind or another model. In Jeremiah chapter 1, the Bible does not necessarily give us a location. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, and it's quite a long reading, so I'll speed read it. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So the Bible just said the word of the Lord came to him. From verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So what God started with was not what was going to be. He started with what had been. He still talks to people like this. Now, what Jeremiah heard must have confounded him. So he expressed his surprise. Then said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He didn't run to his friend and say, oh boy, now me be the prophet. No. That you heard it does not mean that you are licensed to do it. That you heard it does not mean that it's all to it. Because if we had the time, this communication reaches very far into this chapter. So in verse 7, God now responds. You see the back and forth. What I'm showing is the pattern of successive engagement. That God says one thing, and then you don't stop there. You say your own and he says his own. You say your own and you say he says his own. For me, in communicating with God, this is the best kind of communication I have. That I'm just taking a walk and the Lord says, look at that person. I say, that person, I don't know the person. He says, I should tell you. I say, tell me now. And I'm serious. That's how I speak. Audibly. Say, tell me now. So he's speaking my heart. Me, I'm speaking my mouth. He said, you see, that event that happened so so time, is this person that this good thing was coming to? Or is this person that did this bad thing? No. But I actually have this kind of plans for this person. Really? Ah, but the person doesn't look like Kito. Ah, then to show that he's the one, he can use a verse of scripture. That you see, men don't see that. God doesn't see as men sees. Men look at the outward. I say it's true. It's true. Say, but how can this girl that is like this now be that voice to the nations? See, somebody must cry out, restore. So are you calling me to intercede? So say, if you are willing, okay, let's do this one now, and then we'll begin to pray. But it didn't start with I'm calling you to. If I said, Lord, I don't think I can pray. It can be the end of that communication. It doesn't mean he won't tell me another thing. He will look for another person and advertise that person. You understand me? But that's nice. Lord, I want to wear this clothes. You don't wear this clothes too. Ashwai ma yao. But koti tumbi kakana. Oh my yao. Okay. But I want another cloth. Say, don't worry, be patient. I love that kind of thing. It reassures me that it's a living God that we are serving. But you will not know that experience of back and forth communications with God if you run away with every part of the puzzle and begin to seek men to give validation to it. If you read on till about verse 19-20, the communications are still going on. Every time he feels there's something, so after a while, even the fear in his heart was a communication to God, and God began to assure him, I'm setting you against the princes of the land, the kings of the land. You know, so don't lose the joy of the communications, these secret communications of God, by running away. What I encourage people to do, if you started in prayers before God began to speak to you, in case you find out that you have lost part of, or that you don't have part of the communication, what you do is to go back to what you were doing when he first spoke to you. So if fasting gave back to I have called you, don't start eating if you want to hear the rest. Are you with me? Continue the fast. I've told us many times, in case, well, this is just wisdom now. In case you feel that there's something desperate you want to receive from God, and you don't have an instruction from him to fast, you can fast for 3 days in seeking your answers. Are you with me? You can fast for 3 days. If you find out that after 3 days, you've not gotten your answer, you can stretch it to like 7 days. In 7 days, I expect that you may not have gotten your answer, but there will be feedback. And what you must be sensitive of is that whenever there's feedback, engage the feedback. Are you with me? Engage the feedback, not just for your answer, but for a cost. Lord, what will it take to know this thing? What will it take to turn this thing around? Then God can say, okay, I've been fasting. Just now be praying for 3 hours every day. Say, journey of 3 hours every day, prayer will now begin. After a while, you will be so raptured in the 3 hours prayer that you may not even be so hard on, I want this thing again. Are you with me? So
That's how we stretch. But what I'm saying is, once God calls you like that and says, let's go on this journey of finding, don't abort. So don't say, okay, I travel today, I will not pray for 3 hours today. Many times those processes are aborted. Once God invites you and says, follow me, let's come and see what I want to show you, you must be consistent in that activity. So if he now shows you that, maybe it's purpose you are looking for, he shows you and says, I have sent you to Abuja. You know, in Abuja there are a lot of things to do, from being the president to being a senator. There are car wash men there, are they not so? Meshai, me Nama, me what do they have again? Me Masara, me Rua. There is even me God. So there are all kinds of assignments that you can do. It means you can't just say, I'm going to Abuja. Stay in that process. He has not finished speaking. Are you with me? Many of us are bought once we hear the first thing. So I've called you a prophet. And then you run out. Suddenly you find out that you are a prophet without a prophecy. And you will need to cook up one. Or you are an apostle without a message. You know the apostles without messages. It was in his dreams, an elderly man in white with white hair. That's what everybody says. Meets him and says, thou art an apostle. And he wakes up tomorrow, he drops out of school and goes to sew white suit and says that he's the new apostle in town. My time is up. My third model, you can read at home, is in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I've tried to explain it. It's that God summons a man, and that man has never heard God, or calls a boy, and that boy has never heard God speak to him before. Because even if you've never heard God speak to you before, it's going to start one day, and it might just start tonight. And you may be shocked that, I don't understand how God speaks to people. Now God is calling me. There are always guides around you, but I found out that the essence of the summons is many times still not communicated to your guides. You will still have it. Did you call me? I didn't call you. Okay, I perceived it was God. So when he calls you, the job of a guide is to bring the guided into the accurate response when God calls. Say, speak, thy servant hear it. And when he gave that accurate response, what God now began to do was to talk to Samuel the things that he wanted to say to him. God didn't say, because you didn't understand in the beginning, and now speak to Eli, and Eli tell him, your word is your word, and you must be willing to pay the price to come into your word, which is the price of sustained pursuit. You may not see the sacrifice of Samuel until you discover that when God called him the first time, he ran to Eli. Eli said, it's not me. When God called him the second time, what will you have done? What he heard the second time was like the first time. Should Samuel not have said, nobody's calling me, John? Would that not be the rational thing? He goes back to the man again, and the man said, I'm not the one calling you. And then the third time, it meant that young man was also keen to unravel this voice that was calling him. The question is, are you keen? Can God adjudge you as being intentional about coming into the fullness of what he wants to say to you? A lot of people will have stayed with the testimony, God called my name 2 times, Samuel, Samuel. They will have lived their lives testifying from place to place, unknowing that at the end of that call was a commissioning that will have that will have est- that
will have established them as probably the greatest prophet of the times. When I come next week, I'm going to be a lot more detailed. But my one word for us as we go is that when God begins to, the nature of God's callings, especially when it has to do with the commission to an assignment, is that the first lines of these commissions are most often an invitation into more. So if you go for a crusade and somebody says, you, God is going to use you, he's going to use you to change many people, it's a secret place communication in a public place so that you it can lure you into the secret place. What you do with that communication is you go and pray, and as you begin to pray, you find out that there will be more that God will speak. Even if you are in prayers and God says, I am the Lord, don't run out with that testimony. Because if you come to me and say, God said, I am the Lord, I will smile. If I don't want to embarrass you, if I want to embarrass you, I will laugh. Because I grew up knowing that he is the Lord. If you go to, if you have an Orthodox background, when you hear, that's how prophecy starts, Abi, Mama. You say, Emilio Lua, Abi, Mowalani. You know, and some of us, as we began to grow, be feeling, Ogbeni, song got over so kini. Yes, now, because we are like, well, I won't do it anymore now, but that time, you know, that's why there are things that people do that I know is age. If he comes and says, Emini Oluwa, and then, say, Mualani Amu. So, now, tell us, Nijo bye bye. Hey, now you are getting there. But imagine somebody runs with church Kina so ole mi Oluwa mu wa laarin. How does it help? If you are confused, it's possible you have not heard it all. If you saw it, you prayed and you don't understand it, it's possible that you have not seen everything. I've learned from the Lord that sometimes another dream is the explanation of the first dream. I don't just mean one other dream. I mean you can have 10 dreams to explain one. Don't be in a haste. This father of spirits that you have come to meet is a master of communication, and he does not speak to confuse, because the Bible says he does not utter confusion. However, if a man does not hear him in full, a man can become confused. However, remember that he does not utter confusion. Where a man is confused as a result of the speakings of God, it is the fault of the man and not the fault of God. When we come next week, I will teach, by the grace of God, the techniques of waiting, so that we can come into all that God is saying. I will also share of how to endure years of sustained communication. I told us some time ago that our mandates, for we didn't start until after 13 years. Because at about the third year, I got to know that we're supposed to have 9 mandates, and the 9 mandates came within the space of 12 years. So everyone that came, I buried it in my heart and I continued living life. So some of you may have 3, maybe what is supposed to tell you is 20 pieces, and now work has started with 3. You may also find out that even though there you have 3, the 3 may not be 1, 2, 3. The 3 may be 12, 15, and 20. It means you have not gotten your first marching order. Because when you have received them, you now need grace to number them. If not, your life will be confused. You may start big and you end your life small. Patience is the key. Be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. I want to pray. Close your eyes. You pray for 2 minutes, I'll pray for one. If you're here and like my brother shared, you found out that when you were at home it was very strong, your fellowship with God, and right now you are beginning to struggle, it's a good time to ask him for help. He will help you tonight. You're also here, for you it was when you were in school, you were up there and you came back from home very dry. It's a good time right now to ask him that he breathes life back, because life flows now. Life flows now. Life flows now. Life flows now. For those who had it strong at home and currently in school, you're struggling. As we are praying right now, we are moving realities. We are moving realities. We are moving realities. By the help of the Spirit, the wisdom to reconstruct vibrant altars, even in this your new location, are being communicated. Yes. Yes. That priesthood wisdom by which you'll be able to reconstruct from tonight, that the fire begins to burn. Yes, I'm speaking also to altars that have not been serviced for 5-6 months since people traveled home. Yes, tonight by the washings of water they are re-sanctified and the fire comes upon them. Prayer burns high again. Love for the world comes again. Reality-based engagement is born again. Let every barrier, every layer of dust that has been cast over those altars, let it be blown away. We press you deep again into God. Also, if there are those who have heard pieces from God and are confused, tonight waiting grace comes upon you. Waiting grace comes upon you. And where it is a case of dulled eyes and wax ears, the wax is melting. The wax is melting. But the fire of the Spirit and the voice of God is heard again. Eye salve is being added to your eyes. You can see now. You can see now. You can see now. There are two individuals under the sound of my voice. You are recovering your visions here and now. You are recovering your visions here and now. The hand of the Lord is coming upon you, and you are recovering your visions. I see movements around your two eyes. I see movements around your two eyes. Kanobokote atata. Ekamepa koke kebasante kaditoya. Laiko barakato teketes. Ika pokosa kapatato kemilakia tonete. Renta kabino se kaba. A brother and a sister, your eyes are beginning to see clearly again. Receive your visions back. Receive your visions back. Receive your visions back. Let the pieces of your journey that are missing be given back to you as visions from tonight. Ayakomba Kerasikata. There are four individuals as I close. What God is gifting to you is the grace of interpretation. You have written down multiple visions and you don't know what they mean. Tonight, I decree, as I count 1 to 5, that oil drops upon you. Ekabadon telezaito. You will no longer need external men to interpret. Holy Ghost, thank you. 1, 2. Upon the 4, 3 tonight. 4 and 5. Let that oil come. Let it be a warm sensation upon them. As you install the grace for the interpretations of dreams and visions. When you see it, you will know it. When you see it, you will understand it. When you see it, the wisdom to apply it is given unto you. And because you see it, God will hasten to perform it. Leto kipi notwa kipo onte kadatama laska kebrege vetite kiniteus eskalabanate tes in kapombre kesi vizanta labadata ente teke kete pokosu metate breska. Can we all pray in tongues for another 2 minutes? I'm done. Shatabakadabadabadabadabadada inke kombre grese se site beke vanites ketori antanadas le kabada da bada da da vidi ke tonjata le kramse si komta manda imras ki vine teke sonte ki vine tua za sivre ke tua rakata bosa ive kabata kando ikande verikishta taza.
Tana mandra kaskida bakata lina kasopre keshete kene membru kuskapana izuzu kikizumbi skapana mbrekazinas aiko tandra kaziku takapa mbrekadida sakale ze katala brakasto prokonzimin katala graskiva. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, this is our prayer tonight, that Lord, this work will go beyond now. In the name of Jesus, you will sentence us to continuous workings of these operations. In the name of Jesus, those activations continue. In the name of Jesus, and we receive grace.
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. Fellowship with us at His Worship Christian Network, HWCN, located at 4D on the Jew, Ogbomoso, Oyo State, Nigeria. You can also join us to worship on our e-platforms, MixLR, HWCC, Facebook, HWCNNG, Telegram, HWCN Global Group. God bless you.